Hi, welcome to the Big Commerce Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Big Commerce Podcast, hosted by Color Shop Commerce. We are an award-winning e-commerce agency with over 12 years of experience across Europe and North America. My name is Dozier, Marketing Manager at Color Shop. In our last episode, we discussed the reasons for customer cart abandonment. If you haven't checked that out, please do. Welcome to today's episode. Hi, Luigi. How are you today?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I am good. The weather is not so great today in London.
The sun has come out, though, for this podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't a great start. Anyway, good to be back. And today we are discussing B2B e-commerce. So I'm just going to start with a definition. B2B e-commerce is the sale of goods or services through online transactions between businesses. This is from the Big Commerce website. You know, we always have to give credit. And according to Big Commerce, B2B e-commerce is predicted to be 17% of all B2B sales in the US by 2023. What are your thoughts?
Let me just add in for the UK. I think B2B accounts for about £1.7 trillion, and B2B is going to be around £200 billion.
Wow.
So I think it's just over 10%, but yeah, maybe broadly similar. So we can obviously bang the drum that COVID helped to accelerate all these various elements, but that change was going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Buyers or people with kind of buying responsibilities coming into the workforce are millennials. Millennials like to buy online, so that shift is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's imperative that every B2B company addresses their e-commerce strategy for B2B,
mm-hmm.
because it's no longer a choice. It's your customers that are going to choose whether they buy through a website
mm-hmm.
of your competitor, or whether they buy from you. I mean, fine, you could always say the choice has always been in the customer's hands, but really you have to keep up, because if you don't offer them this kind of quote omni-channel experience,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get left behind, just like you would on the B2C side of things.
Interesting. So for a merchant, what are the benefits of B2B e-commerce?
So I think one of the main benefits is that you are addressing your customer needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if your customer is working late one evening, or is working at the weekends, or is on a beach in Spain and they need to buy something from you, they can do that. You're giving them the choice. They're not having to send you an email or call an agent or, you know, whatever it is that you kind of want to do. They've got the choice. And that's always been kind of the fundamental rules of e-commerce, is give the buyer the control of the choice. So I think one of the main advantages is that you're never closed. You never shut. I mean, you can't now expect to be working the same way you did 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be always open, and you have to give the customer the information that they need in order to be able to buy or kind of execute that transaction at the time of their choosing. Secondly, like anything, you've got a presence on the internet, so potentially obviously depending on your TAM, your total addressable market, you are got the potential to market to new customers and find new customers that maybe are leaving or are looking around because their current supplier doesn't offer it online, or maybe, you know, they're looking for a more reliable supplier or a greater choice of products, you know, all these different elements. So from that perspective, you've got, you know, not only the ability to serve your current customers better by giving them more choice and more control, you are also opening up your doors to finding new customers.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's just in your home country or, you know, cross-border trading as well.
Absolutely. So there's definitely an opportunity for expansion.
Absolutely. I mean, look at, you know, kind of so many brands are pushing, in the UK, we've had companies like Viking that do stationery for years that have had kind of, you know, you could still call in and do, but it was all done through the website.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what their kind of closer competitors called. Then you've got Staples and so on. And so really it's been on the cards for a long time. I think COVID has certainly kind of woken people up to it, but it was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And also there's the opportunity to use customer data more effectively, especially with B2B e-commerce.
Yeah. And like any kind of e-commerce, so personalization, like you say, is one of the most important things. So if I go onto a website, say that I'm an electrician, and I go onto a website that supplies tools, like a Screwfix equivalent, wouldn't it be easy for me if you showed me electrical products first, or the newest electrical products? I'm not interested in ironmongery or timber or plumbing. I'm interested in the kind of electrical products. So you've also got the opportunity to merchandise better and personalize that experience. So absolutely, from that, and again, it goes down to marketing. That works really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also kind of going back to the experience for the customer. Not only can you imagine kind of having to ring up, whether it's your sales agent, your rep that follows you, who's maybe in meetings all day or whatever, Zoom calls. Could you imagine having to call them, maybe leaving voicemails or calling head office and having to put on hold? When what you could do is just go onto the internet, log in, add to cart, maybe, kind of get upsold or cross-sold some mm-hmm. products, and off you go.
Yeah, I agree. So for merchants that are considering, B2B e-commerce, how important is the e-commerce platform that they decide to choose?
Depends on what stage of growth you're at. Not just from an e-com, because you might be kind of very new to e-commerce. So we've never sold online before, but we sell 200 million offline. So, your business will be structured, even 20 million, and it will have certain requirements. So it really depends. If you're starting out today from zero, and maybe you're looking at turning over 1 million, 2 million in total over the next 2 years, you've got a bit more choice in terms of the e-com platforms. You can go for something quite simple and entry level. I think one thing that has to be at the forefront of you choosing a platform, obviously it's got to come down to cost. Is this, because you can have platforms that will do broadly the same thing, but at different price points, mm-hmm. not just in terms of the license fee, but also development. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, well, it's going to cost me 50,000 to develop and 20,000 per year to kind of run just the e-com platform, 70,000, how much do I need to turn over to make that a positive ROI?
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say we'll go onto a platform that maybe is £300,000 a year license fee and £150,000 to develop, or 200. So from that perspective, the numbers need to kind of add up.
Mm-hmm.
The next step though is the functionality,
yeah.
because you need to have a runway. You need to say, right, how can I scale my business on this platform? If you're going to launch with something that's on-prem, so you're going to host it yourself and you're responsible for all that, and it's a B2C, traditional B2C platform, like one of BigCommerce's biggest competitors or something like WooCommerce, there will be a ceiling at which you're going to reach and say, right, now I need to move platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be a £500,000, it could be a £2 million, it could be a five, but you will reach that ceiling because it's very difficult to then scale a platform like that. B2B, I could go off on a tangent here, so I'll try really hard not to, but B2B has a lot of systems in the back end that operate. So it's not always as easy as saying, well, I've sold something, I print off a pick list, I give it to someone in the warehouse and they ship it. It can be that easy. But really, if you're going to scale an operation, there's potentially going to be kitting involved. So somebody buys this microphone with a stand, but actually it's made up of three products: the microphone, the stand, and the cap to kind of the sound cap. So in the warehouse, they pick three products. Shelving, they buy a certain type of shelf, but actually when they're picking in the warehouse, they're picking the legs, they're picking the actual shelves, maybe some stoppers and so on. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, you need to make sure, right, have I got the ability to plug in all these different systems? Like, are my APIs powerful enough?
Mm-hmm.
Are they expendable enough? Are they wide enough? Or do I just get one or two webhooks that just send me through the SKU and the price? It becomes really, really complex.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that B2B merchants kind of expand their e-com operation, or certainly kind of expand their e-commerce offering, is A, through kind of like a headless or composable build. So that's where you use an e-commerce platform purely for the e-com element.
Mm-hmm.
So accepting orders and managing products and send payments. But actually the presentation layer, the front end, what you see could be, you know, a PWA, like Vue Storefront or Dating. It could be an app. You can actually be plugging into a native app that you download from the app store and so on. So all those things require connections. So that's a really important element to kind of understand. Is saying, right, what are the true kind of scalability, you know, tools that I've got within this e-commerce platform? And it's really important you do your research, because I think a lot of platforms will sell themselves as B2B when they're really not suited for B2B. You mm-hmm. could do it with caveats and, you know, sticky tape or whatever, mm-hmm. but realistically you need something that's really solid. Because if you're turning over 20, 25 million, and now you start seeing all these anchors that are holding you back or slowing things down, you're losing out money. It's not that, you know, it's a difficult, sticky journey. You're actually going to be losing out on new sales.
Yeah, so merchants definitely need to look out for platforms that are well-suited for B2B e-commerce. Over here, we are big commerce experts, and we've done a lot of, you know, B2B builds. Could you, you know, share some of the works that we've done?
Yeah, so
if we're allowed to.
Yeah, so not for all of them, but for, I mean, look, obviously we'll kind of, you know, give a shout out to our friends at BigCommerce, because we do work with them, and they do have a really good platform. They recently acquired B2B Ninja. They recently acquired what was called Bundle B2B and integrated that into now their B2B edition. So kind of BigCommerce have identified B2B as an area which their B2C capabilities won't address. So they've actually identify that, and they're making changes to improve the platform. And I said, not every platform is doing that. You know, mm-hmm. the small modules you can add on, but Adobe Commerce as well for B2B is really well suited. Now, I think it's only fair, because BigCommerce isn't suited for everybody. And then you can kind of go into more composable like Spryker, Elastic Path Commerce Tools, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a completely different realm. But the good thing about BigCommerce is I think it sits in the middle. It's not a generalist platform, but it sits in the middle and say, look, if you need us to do everything like a monolith, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you then need to start expanding the functionality and plugging into external systems, multi storefronts for different languages, different brands, with different regions, then you can do that as well. But really the nucleus of the e-commerce operation, i.e. BigCommerce,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have to change. So yeah. you have that longer runway to say, right, maybe the monolith BigCommerce I will outgrow. And that won't be suitable. Well, do you know what? I don't need to change platform, which means evaluating vendors, evaluating agencies, picking one, doing an actual build, and that could take, let's say, a year.
Yeah.
How much time of yours does that take up, apart from the money side? And so they're kind of saying, look, you've got the flexibility. You want us to run everything? We can do that. You want us to run just the e-com element? You can do that as well. And then look at their ecosystem as well. So what are the systems that plug in or can plug into the e-commerce platform really well? And, you know, don't start looking at building custom solutions, because there are systems out there that will do what you need your platform to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being maintained, they're being improved and updated, they're doing the security and everything. So why would you take on extra burden?
Mm-hmm.
You know, work with those teams. So, you know, our friends at Linworks as well are really good, or Brightpearl as well, are really great for those kind of things. From a PIM perspective, Pimbly, Akinio, Chemistry, will those platforms plug in to the e-com platform that you're looking at working with? Because they will help accelerate your growth as well if you've got mm-hmm. good product data and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that you do look at, you know, pushing the APIs, just because it's really helped us to solve problems for merchants and enhance the functionality for our B2B merchants. So let's take an example.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our merchants in, so some of these examples, I think we'll you know, we could do a deeper dive in. So let me just backtrack a bit. One of the things that you need to do when you are trying to launch a B2B website is make sure that the customer has their kind of personalized journey. So chances are most B2B customers will have some kind of tailored pricing, special offers on special products, maybe some promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you're a sales agent, you've got an iPad or a you know, portfolio, and you can see all the prices, and you know, you can process these kind of questions in your head. You need to take that and put that into an e-commerce system. So how do you do that? Price lists are really important. So I log in, and maybe I buy this product for £100, you log in and maybe you buy a higher volume, or if you're a better negotiator, maybe you buy at 80.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do that if we're logging into the same portal?
Yeah.
So customer segmentation is really important as well. Or it might be that actually I can't view the products that you're viewing, that you're buying, because maybe I don't buy enough, or maybe you've got some form of exclusivity, or whatever the reason is. So from that perspective, it's really important. We saw this with a client of ours in Ireland, O'Neill Sportswear. So when COVID hit,
mm-hmm.
They weren't able to do fitting sessions anymore. What they would do is go to see, view, kind of meet their teams, their clients, their customers, put kind of the kit out, say, right, go try the large, go try the extra large, the small, and then come back and take orders. They couldn't do that because obviously with COVID there was lockdowns and you know, also not wanted to be around people too closely. So
yeah,
we worked with them to launch, we worked with O'Neill's and also Paul at Vivant to launch what we call Club Hub, whereby teams would have their own unique logins,
okay,
and all the players and all the staff from that team would get their own login, tokenized to a customer group. They would log in and only see their kit. Then another team with their logins would log in and see their kit at different prices, different kits. So we wouldn't see each other's kits and each other's prices. Right. I only saw my kit, you'd only see yours. That's really important. So things like prices and customer segmentation was key to that, because yeah, without that, we couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Somebody like ShopFit and Warehouse, so kind of one of our flagship clients, I guess, and we'll have to have Clemens on the podcast soon.
Definitely.
I think you'll be super keen for that. But they are a B2B distributor of retail shelving and display equipment. And they really nailed it quite well on the build, because they'd already had a website previously, but they identified that giving the customer control was really important.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go on their product pages, you'll see that there's a lot of information, technical information on there that we manage through BigCommerce's product management system. Also in terms of information, so they've got downloads of assembly instructions and technical specifications. There's videos about how to assemble products. But then it gets really complex into things like bulk pricing. So buy 1 to 5 pieces, you pay X. If you buy 11 to 20, you get 5% discount. Mm-hmm. Buy 21 to 30, you get Y percent discount. So that was really important, because it meant that the merchant can start upselling, saying, look, if you want 9, you maybe pay 10. Why don't you buy 10 and you buy 9? Unless it's you're getting 1 for free.
Yeah.
So that was kind of that bulk pricing rules are really important, because you'll find a lot of B2B merchants will bulk buy. And they might only need 5 today. But if they're buying repeatedly, they might say, well, do you know what? I'll skip next month's order. I'll buy 10 today. I'll save some money.
Yeah.
Another one was just making sure that they knew if a product was in stock or was going to come back into stock. That is really vital, because from a B2B perspective, if I am a builder or an electrician or maybe an installer and I'm working on a project next week, I want to know that the product's going to come in this week. Or I might want to know, I don't need that product till Tuesday of next week. Can I please have it delivered to Tuesday? I'll order it today, I'll pay for it today, but I want it delivered, not tomorrow, but next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of things were really important as well when we were building out the website, was the communication after saying this product's in stock, not in stock, coming back into stock. Or it's saying, right, you know, order now for delivery tomorrow, or, you know, choose your delivery date, which might be, as I said, next week.
Yeah.
You can see all these nuances make it different than a B2C,
yeah,
where we want it today, and we want it at the lowest price, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are really great points. I think just to touch back on the ones that you mentioned, customer segmentation, which is really, I think it's a really interesting, you know, feature. That, like you said, it's not something that is seen on B2C, which you did with Club O'Neill's. You also spoke about, you know, delivery times, giving customers the option to, you know, get their orders at a specific, you know, delivery date. So that's really interesting. I think these are features that typically some merchants might be able to offer with, you know, offline, but I think with going online and with B2B e-commerce, it just transforms, you know, what features we can offer or what features they can offer their customers. So great. Great points.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could do a mini series about B2B commerce, and maybe we should. But it's such a complex area. I personally find it really interesting because it's so complex.
It sounds interesting.
It's not easy, but I think from that perspective, it's really important, and people don't make the mistake to think B2B, B2C, same thing. It isn't.
Great. I think, just to wrap things up, could you maybe clarify types of B2B? Because I know maybe there are some merchants that are not quite sure if they fit into the B2B category. I know we've had, so maybe like shop fitting warehouse, that's wholesale. So could you maybe clarify different examples of B2B?
I mean, broadly, if your customers are a business, mm-hmm. you are a B2B okay. business. If your customers are the consumers, then you are the public, then you are a B2C. Mm-hmm. There is some overlap sometimes. I mean, shop fitting warehouse do supply some B2C mm-hmm. customers that kind of go on, and they maybe, kitting out a garage or something. So obviously their requirements will be different, but they can do that. But really, it's just important that you understand that if your customer is a business and they can make a fairly quick decision, if you're building out kind of automation systems in an industrial warehouse, you might buy the spare parts through a website, but you won't buy the system because they're custom built.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, if you're buying out the spare parts, if you're selling automotive parts, we've worked with Ford in the past, with accessories and spares.
Yeah.
And that was for their service network. So again, that was a B2B solution. And Ford had both B2C and B2B with commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of need to identify, can my customer be in a position to buy online? Yes, they can, right. You are a B2B business, you need to make sure that you are serving that need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ford didn't have to because, fine, you could buy some parts that maybe aren't Ford for their service network, mm-hmm. but it made it a procurement platform. And we were, Kia Construction as well, not Kia the car company, the construction group. Again, they've got a procurement platform with us that runs on BigCommerce,
mm-hmm.
Because they've identified the need that actually if people need a product, and they can buy. And again, it's pure B2B. It is pure B2B. So if your customer is a business, it's a B2B platform. You can still cater for B2C, but make sure that your messaging is for your target market.
Yeah, interesting. Because I noticed for some particular merchants, there's a bit of an overlap, or maybe not an overlap, but they cater to both businesses and customers. But yeah, interesting. Yeah.
But you'll see that successful ones will market to a particular type of customer.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll probably be B2B, but they will also serve B2C.
Great. That was really insightful. Thank you very much, Luigi.
Thank you for your time.
Interesting topic as usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening as well, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Great. Later.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For more e-commerce insights, tips, and trends, visit our website at kalashop.uk. We are also very active in social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. It's kalashop.uk.